Good morning. They're trying a new microphone system this morning. I'm the guinea pig. I'm going to move this, but I may have to move it back if it doesn't work. So let's see if it works. Normally, oh, I've said this before, but normally I I go through a doctrine or a book every time I speak, try to go through it systematically, tie all the loose ends together, see what is being said, different things that are important to us. Last couple of years, I haven't had that opportunity, mostly because of me, So I've been looking for messages, things that are on my mind, things that are on my heart, things that seem to impress me at the time. And this week, I started two things. Yesterday morning, I threw each of them out. And I trust this morning that what I'm going to say will be an encouragement. Lighten your day. I want to talk about grace. It came to me when because it's been on my mind, thinking of my life, salvation, my mission field time here, thinking of the struggles I've had, thinking of the failures that have been in my life, and recognizing that God's grace is everything and every situation in our life. And there are songs, grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, heaven with the echo resound, let all the earth hear. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all our sorrows took. And of course, there's a song in the blue book, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. The most popular hymn in America is, you can guess it, right, Amazing Grace. It has been recognized again and again as the most popular hymn, the most recognized hymn in America. And so would like to go through it. Amazing Grace is his favorite hymn. We're also saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 tell us about it. Saved by grace. Not only are we saved by grace, but we live by grace every day. That's what I want to talk about. How often we forget that grace is in our lives every day. Success or failure, answered prayers or no answered prayers. Grace is the entireness of our lives. So this aspect of grace seems to be a little confusing among believers. There's a sense where we come to Christ as our Savior and we are lifted up and we are just enthralled with the fact that my sins are forgiven and I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ for all eternity. But it's not long, for some reason, that we begin to think our relationship with Jesus Christ is totally based on performance. And we begin to fall into a trap where we forget his grace and what it can do and why it's important to us. Now, some of the things I said this morning, I know you can think of other verses that may say that's not true, but there's a balance in all of this, and it has to be kept, because it's extreme important. I have found in my life that the idea of grace and living and serving in grace has been the most liberating thing for me. When you go off to a foreign country and you're learning a language and people and you're back in the boonies and you're evangelizing and you're trying new things and there's one blow after the other after the other. Start questioning, well, maybe I'm not walking with the Lord. Maybe I'm not pleasing Him. Maybe I've done something somewhere and I've done this and He's holding back. He's kind of warning me. Maybe I wasn't even called. Well, if you get into more methodology, read books on growth on the mission field, or how to get people to speak in tongues, or have them baptized in the Spirit to get the work done, you get back to performance. You get into legalism. And you have to again and again trust grace. Now, I'm going to quote a number of verses, and don't turn because it'll take time. But in Galatians 5:4, he talks about those of you who go back to the law have fallen from grace. Now, there's arguments about, well, that means you've lost your salvation, and that means, no, it doesn't mean that. You are saved by grace, you walk. What it means is this, when you go back to the system of performance, you're not living by grace and you're losing out on the joy of consecration, on the joy of living for Jesus Christ. So to argue that that verse means you've lost your salvation, no, you've just gone back to doing what you couldn't do before, trying to please God by keeping all points of the law, and with us, performance. I'll give you some ideas about that in a minute or two. So, the Old Testament has the performance aspect. I'm right now in my yearly Bible reading. I just finished Deuteronomy and Joshua. I'm in the Judges and all three of those books. If you do, I will do. If you live, I will bless. If you, I will. If you don't, I will. Grace of the New Testament doesn't say that. If you don't, then I will. Oh, I won't do this or that. And even when you pray, I go to my study home, get down to pray, and sometimes I think I'm talking in the chair. Well, that's not so bad, but if it starts talking to me, that'll be bad. See? But there's no emotion. There's no excitement. There's just the prayer, and it seems so rote and dead. So what do you do when you get up? Well, I'm not filled with the Spirit. I'm not consecrated. The Spirit has held back to bless me. And then I go through a whole phase. I better read a book on prayer. Hey, whew, oh, here's a chapter. Okay. You just pray, it's grace. God's listening. He knows, He understands. It brightens our day, and it gives us freedom. Freedom that we need. So, the realization that my daily relationship with God is based on the infinite merits of Christ instead of my performance is freeing and brings joy. Ephesians 1:7 talked about the riches of His grace. As He opens that book, the riches. And He's going to talk in Ephesians about a lot of things, including performance, living. See? But it talks about the richness of His grace, and it's important. It had to be in my life and my service a strengthening factor, or I would have quit early. So this is something on my mind. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul, the apostle, said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His service, what he's done, the failures, the difficulties, the trials, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I got a little note in here I stuck in this morning. All right. And the way we continually talk about our inabilities to do something, to understand something, is an insult to our Creator. To complain over incompetence, I can't do it, I'm nothing. Complain over our incompetence is to accuse God falsely of having overlooked us. Maybe you've thought that way, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But you see, I feel that way, and I think other people feel that way. I mean, if I'm the only one who thinks that way, then I'm pretty special. And I have a feeling this is something that we think about in the back of our minds, in our daily living, in the rat race. And so, I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The grace of God is inexhaustible. It's inexhaustible. There never comes a time where he says, Doc, I'm pulling back. You came to Columbia and you spent 3 years hobbling around, learning this and doing that. You've done nothing. You may as well go home. And instead of reading books on how to be a successful missionary to 1,000 people, you just keep plodding along, learning, doing what is there. And lo and behold, you start seeing churches. Not big, but they're there. They're still there. Grace is what keeps us going. So, grace is often, as I said, based on performance. And it's happened to us easily. And I'll explain a little bit why performance becomes a trap. Now, I'm not saying don't live for Christ. Don't leave and say, Ducky said, no, I'm talking about the basis of not believing in enough of the fullness of grace, as if we still have a debt to pay before God can fully show that he loves us and cares for us. Anyway, Galatians 3 says, O foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you so now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, why he's talking about the law? Basically, it's what he's saying. Following the law and trying to follow the law is a way to get God's favor. And we don't have to do that to get God's favor. He sent his son. He completely paid the debt. And we have no debt to pay. And it's an incredible thing as you live. And so when we trust in Christ, there's this subtle thing that takes place where I begin to revert to works and performance in order to tell God each day, I'm okay. I'm okay. You can bless me. You can bless me. And we fall into that. Okay. We are, I wrote down, legalists by nature. Matthew 19:27, Peter says, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? Well, there's mighty blessings out there for us, but he left everything to follow you. Oh, in a few days, Peter is going to be broken. He is going to make a fool of himself, and the Lord is going to be broken. And while Peter and Lord met, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, that the Lord met with Peter after his fall. Nothing is recorded, but it would really been interesting to see. Peter was broken, and what he said and how he felt. And the Lord had to reassure him. Right. Now, here's some of the things. Again, I want to be careful here because I don't want you to think I'm talking about these things negatively. But here's some of the things that we can do with the idea of getting God's attention in grace. Attend church regularly is one of the things. Now, I didn't say don't, but attending church regularly. When somebody's missing a weekend, and what do we do? Well, I have this little statement I make the first week. It's a free country. See? It's a free country. If Millie and Tilly want to go somewhere, they can go. See? Or Billy and Millie or Tilly. See? It's a free country. The next thing is have a quiet time. Oh, it's nice to have a quiet time. I have the luxury right now of having a nice quiet time because it's right in my house and I've got a nice cozy little office there and I got coffee pot nearby and it's nice. And I can sit back and even with my slippers on if I want. And I can have my morning read. But what if you can't? What if you're in a hurry? What if you have to run through it? So when you get in the car and go to work or wherever you're going, is there an anxiety inside? Boy, I just didn't take the time for the Lord this morning. What do you do with that? At noon, if something bad. Well, I didn't take the time this morning. Somehow God is overlooking me. There's something I must do to gain his attention. Study the Bible. We should, of course we should study the Bible. And it's hard. Find for people who are working and who are busy schedule, it's hard to find the time and the place at home and how to come up with a method of your own to open commentaries and study and get as much done as you can in a short period of time. What I did years ago when I was working at Sunbeam Corporation, I had a closet and I put a lamp and a folding table, and in winter a heater. And I kept all my books open, and my pen and everything like that. Out I went, and back in. See? But the point is, do we do that for performance? Because we want the Lord. Come on, Lord, now say I'm studying your word. Are you following what I'm saying? I hope. Or what about memorizing scripture? I'll confess right now, I don't have a method for memorizing scripture. I'm almost always memorize scripture in the portion I'm reading. That's just what I do, just from day one. See? I read some portion and this jumps out and that jumps out. Or giving to missions. Well, we haven't given enough, yeah, and the Lord's given to us and we better give, and I don't know. And then you're wondering if the Lord's going to say, well, you're stingy, I'm stingy. And these things, now, all of this is true and should be part of what we do. Why do we do it? Are we doing it in its marvelous grace? Or are we doing it because we still think there's a debt we owe in our lives as Christians and that we need to attract his attention to bless us? Now, the Bible does say, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And there's the need to pursue holiness. 2 Peter 1:5, Peter says, and be diligent to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. All that's part of our character and growth. But again, we may fail at some of this. We may find that we don't always have self-control. I'm not going to say more about that, but we may find that. Or we may find out that we become more centered on ourselves than our brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, so, excuse me. do we do any of these things to gain God's attention? And remember, justification is based on faith. And justification means that you've been declared right and you do not owe one thing to God ever. Done. I remember using this illustration before. It come from a newspaper. I trust it's true. Somebody out in, I don't know, Montana, Idaho, a doctor, had a lot of patients who weren't able to pay him. So as they came in and he treated them, he would often say to the secretary, put in the bill paid in full. Put it in. Person left, never paid a penny. I don't know the rest of this, what exactly happened, but after the doctor died, his wife, his family, wanted to collect on some of these. They knew who they were because the doc obviously said. They took it to court. And I really like this. What an illustration of justification. And the judge says, throw it out. This shouldn't even be in court. Because he put in the file, paid in full. These people do not owe a penny because he reckoned to them that the price was paid. I thought that was really something. So, these are some illustrations, but so our salvation based upon grace. Our debt was fully paid. There is no possibility of going into debt again. I don't know if that makes anything different, but it makes a difference to me. There's no possibility of going into debt again. See? I like that. Because my early years in the mission field, I felt so much that something was wrong. I never enjoyed His grace. It was all learn, do, what's wrong. And then I started understanding grace more and just going along with some of the flow. One day I didn't have a great prayer time. He heard. See. One day we went to some town and we witnessed and we passed out tracts and some Bibles. Not one person was interested. So, I learned. And grace is free, unmerited favor. Right? Shown to guilty sinners who deserve only judgment. And you know what? While we're saved, we are still sinners. What makes us think that we've got beyond to the place where we're, whoa, I'm still pretty good. Maybe they asked me to be an elder. Or something like that. So, it's important. Grace stands in direct opposition to any supposed worthiness on our part. We are not worthy, and I'm not worthy today. Right. Romans 11, 6, straight to have in this portion on the Jews, something about grace. Says this, by grace, no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if by works, it is no longer grace. Now, I'm talking about this thing of being not free and enjoying God's grace. All right. And grace does not first rescue us from the penalty of our sins and furnish us with a new spiritual abilities, give us gifts of the Spirit, and then leave us on our own to grow spiritually. Here, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. She was Jewish, Doc. Well, I'm not doing too great. Well, tough. Now, maybe you think I'm just spouting off, and I could be, and maybe you don't even see what I'm getting at because I'm not making it clear, but I hope you see what I'm trying to do. And this is important. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you, in us, by grace, will also by his grace, I put in that, carry to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll carry it right to the completion. And I'm tired over the years and my service of trying to continue to show to God that I owed something to him yet. And be worried about whether that prayer time that seemed like I was talking to the chair, it's a waste. Didn't do much. So, it's important. Now I'd like to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. All right, verse 8. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoners, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us by a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he gave to us in Christ Jesus. Now I like this. Not according to our works, saved us, not according to our works. In other words, now you're a pretty good teacher. Look, if you go and take a course on homiletics and preach, you're going to be top man. You'll be filling your book in another year. See? And that puts us back under performance. And that puts us back to trying to show God that, you can give me the big conferences. I can take them. See? I'm being a wise guy, maybe. But grace. And, okay. 2 Timothy, that was 2 Timothy 1:9. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What in the world does that mean? You're gaining grace to be strong? Well, the grace of God is there, and our strength is in what he's already poured out to us. I don't want to live the idea that I'm going to be strong in his grace as long as I get to the place where he says, here, Doc, have a bunch. Have a bunch. So, and in Ephesians 6, 10, 11, while it doesn't use the word grace, he said, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in his grace. Be strong in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God. There's confidence that he can work for us and help us. So, and of course we know grace is at the heart of the gospel. Right? but many times we come and we don't believe we're all bad. In fact, we assume, there's a lot of good, but he's just saving the bad parts. We're all condemned and under the judgment of God. We've all fallen short. All of us. And as we've fallen short, we are to be reminded, even in our growth, we've all fallen short. Well, there's some good things there. That was the... Well, I boozed a bit, and I thought, the gospel is given because we are totally lost. And so, it's not that we're bringing some things that God can redeem and use. Romans 3:9, then there's none righteous, no, not one. Do we believe that? Or do we believe that? Well, I've got some good qualities to give. All right. So, His grace does not make up for our deficiencies. He gives us new life. Now, in Luke 18:9-14, the Lord's given a parable, and it's his tax collector. And did not ask God to make up his deficiencies, rather be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. You see, when people think, well, I drink too much, but I don't need Christ. I'm a little unfaithful in my life, but there's other good. I don't need Christ. That thing I can take care of. We need to tell people that they've fallen short of the grace and glory of God and salvation. You are totally. When people are truly convicted of sin, they want to come to Christ as fast as they can. See? And that's something really, really important. All right, so this tax collector, he was guilty and provided salvation and canceled his debt. I walked too many years in service. See, full-time service is really tricky. It's really tricky. And I've walked too long under the shadow that I wasn't doing enough to see God really use me. I got tired. Because of performance, like a debt I owe. All right. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his son, his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Well, that verse, powerful. Not hard to find these verses, there's a lot of them. Just go back to your concordance or take your computer program, there's a list of them. And you can follow them through and meditate on them. Grace frees us from the performance treadmill. Nothing we ever do will cause God to love you any more or less. You believe that? Or do you think He loves you less because you haven't performed right? He loves us, sent His Son. And I tell you something, that He loves us eternally. And it's not that God will love us if we do more, or love us less if we don't do enough. Sure, we need to obey. And we need to see what the Lord can do. And there's something in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants to work on. And we give that to God and let's see what happens. But living under the grace of God instead of under a sense of duty frees us from self-serving motivation. That is a big one. From self-serving motivation. Well, you know, maybe I ought to be a missionary. I ought to do more. I have this, I should. Why am I doing? Is that why I get irritated with people who are working in the Lord's service too? Is that why I get irritated with people? Because I've studied this and I know this and I've done this. Maybe that's one but reason. But it frees us from a self-serving attitude. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, the love of Christ compels us. Now, in the William translation tries to keep some of the tenses of the verbs. In other words, try to give us a little bit of sense what might be going on. And here's what it said. The love of Christ compels us. for the love of Christ continuously constrains. Now, I put the word in continuously. But according to what I can see from that, is that the tense of the verb is important. Continuously constrains us. So this is something that's interesting. Now, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Usually we think growing in grace and the knowledge means growing in our character. Now, understood. But I'd like to look at the verse and say, maybe a more accurate meaning is to continually grow in the understanding of God's grace. And continuing to grow in the understanding of God's grace will really help you be strong in the Lord. Put on hold on. So these are some thoughts, and I'm just interested in the fact that too often we fall into performance mode and then we get discouraged. We might be looking for answers in the wrong place. So, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, God the Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Right. It's everlasting consolation. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. I like that, right? He gave us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace and comforts our heart and establishes you in every good word and work. So, and to end, James, who we often call a legalist, well, always one of James' book, is he saved, is James. See, James says 4:6, but he gives more grace. Not James was a believer. But we always got a big discussion in Bible school. Write your papers. And then read your papers. And everybody has fun yelling at each other. When it's your school. That's what academic community is supposed to do, I think. But I like what James says. But he gives more grace. And Titus 3:15, to close. Grace be with you all. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. We need to be balanced. Father, we have the need to stop drawing attention to ourselves with you. Am I good enough? Am I praying hard enough? Am I reading enough? Am I serving enough? But help us to rejoice in your grace. We owe nothing. The debt has been paid in full. And we're going to come limping home. We're still in sinful bodies. And we're going to limp home. And Father, I ask you that when we go home and the door to heaven's opened, we will jump for joy rather than kind of quietly walk in and wonder when you're going to bawl us out. Thank you for this marvelous grace of our Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name.